We've got a new series that we're starting today. I've just seen on the floor. I swept up a load of these this morning when we came in. A little pink heart. Probably you can't see that. But this series that we're looking at over the next few weeks, this is love. This is love. So we're going to take a few weeks looking at love. So would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 26? And we shall read some from there. Jesus, we thank you for the word. We thank you that you are the word become flesh, but we thank you that we have the scriptures, word in print. Lord, would you open our ears to hear what you are saying to us? Open our hearts to receive what you want to say to us today. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it is truth, that it is life. We receive that now this morning. Amen. Matthew 26, starting at verse 17. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover." The Passover, you will remember, is the celebration of the Israelites' delivery from slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi?" Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had finished giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Love is an interesting word. We say, "I love my spouse. I love my wife. I love my children. I love a beautiful sunset. I love a stirring piece of music. I love the smell of fresh bread. I love God. I love pizza." It's a strange word. Love is possibly one of the strongest emotions any emotion can be strong. But love, possibly the strongest. And yet, the word love can be the most bland, indistinct, overused word in our language. Keep in mind what we've just read and turn over to John chapter 21. We've just read about the Passover and Jesus has symbolically shown, this is what's going to happen to me. This bread which is being broken. This is going to happen to me. This wine, this represents my blood being poured out. If you want it any plainer, I am going to die. I am going to suffer. He says to Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny that you ever know me. And Peter does deny him, in spite of all his protestations. And after that, Jesus has risen from the dead. The disciples are wondering, what do we do now? And they go out fishing. And they see someone on the boat, and Peter realizes it's Jesus, and he dives into the water, swims to shore, and they have breakfast with Jesus. Then in verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Simon, do you love pizza? Simon, do you love a beautiful sunset? That's not what he's asking. Simon, do you love me? What is he saying? You'll all be aware, I think, that the New Testament was written in Greek. Now, in Greek, there are a number of words that can be translated as love. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves, which he outlines the four words that in Greek tend to be translated as love or something related to that. So I thought it's worth us, as at the start of this series, doing a little bit of groundwork. Say, what are we talking about when we talk about love? So, here we go. My Greek pronunciation and ability to read is very slim. So if anybody knows the Greek better than me, I apologize. You can see on the slide how it should be spelt. First one we've got is storge or storge, something like that. It's a kind of familial affection. It is the kind of love a parent has for their child. It's the kind of love that binds a family together. We've spent time together. We know each other. We belong together. We belong to each other. We love each other. In Romans chapter 12, this is the root of the word that's used here. It says, be devoted to one another in love. That devotion. Be devoted to one another. The second word, philia. It's a friendship or an attraction. It's something intentional. We decide we are friends because we have spent time together. We've built a relationship on shared interests, values, or pursuits often. That, if we go back to that Romans 12 verse, it says, be devoted to one another in love. The actual word, so the root, Philadelphios is the word, in brotherly love. It's that kind of, when you think of David and Jonathan in the Old Testament, they were for each other, they loved each other, they had each other's back. One verse talks about there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother in Proverbs. It's that philia love. Similarly, in James chapter 4, he says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship, that's the word there, the root word philia, friendship with the world means enmity against God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That's not saying that we can't be friends with people, but the world system, the world way of thinking, the way the government acts, is that in line with God or is it in line with a different system? That's what we're talking about there. The third one we have, eros, romantic, passionate love. It's a desire. A desire for union with another person. This one is from Greek mythology. The Greeks called this god Eros, the Romans called it Cupid. It probably won't surprise you to know that this one isn't used in scripture at all. Finally, we've got agape love. A selfless, unconditional love. Self-sacrifice for the benefit of another. If we look at John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. Sorry, yeah, 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Agape. As the Father has loved me, agape, self-sacrificing. So I have loved you. So I've sacrificed myself. Now remain in my self-sacrificing love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. Same word all the way through. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other, same word, agape, as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. There's no greater expression of love for someone than you lay down your life, you sacrifice yourself for their benefit. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, and for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Same word, sacrificial love. That word agape is the most commonly used word for love in the New Testament. So we read that, and with that understanding, let's go back to John chapter 21. Verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Agape, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I philia you. He uses a different, he responds with a different word. Jesus says, do you love me sacrificially? Lord, you know I love you like a brother. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Verse 16, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Agape. He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Philia. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Philia. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me, Philia? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, Philia. Jesus said to him, Simon, will you sacrifice everything for me? He says, Jesus, I'm your friend. I'm with you. I'm your friend. If we look back at Matthew 26, Peter's declaration, verse 31, Jesus says, you will fall away from me. 33, Peter replied, even if all fall away, on account of you, I never will. He hasn't used the word. Verse 35. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. He hasn't used the word, I love you, but he has expressed that sentiment. I would sacrifice myself for you. As we continue to read through that chapter, we see Judas comes, Jesus is arrested, he's taken away, and all the disciples are scattered. Peter follows at a distance into the courtyard, and he's there, he can see the trial going on inside, and he's there by the fire warming himself. Verse 69. Now Peter was sitting in the outer courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were here with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus has spoken. Before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. He remembered the words that Jesus had spoken. And he remembered the words that he had spoken. I would lay down my life for you. And I haven't. I've failed. I've failed to live up to my declaration to agape you. Jesus has been teaching for the last 3 years. If you love me, if you would sacrifice yourself for me, if you would lay down your life for me, that's the kind of love I want. That's the kind of love I offer. Peter thought he was something. Peter thought he was able to love God the way Jesus loved him. But when the heat came, he failed. We go from the fire in the courtyard with Peter there warming himself to the fire on the beach where they just had breakfast and cooked fish. And again, three times, Jesus says to him, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "You know that I love you, philia. You know that I'm your friend. You know that I'm with you. You know that I'm for you." Twice Jesus says, "Would you sacrifice yourself for me like you said you would?" Love stronger than death. "Yes, you know I'm with you, God. Would you sacrifice yourself? You know I'm with you. Are you with me, Peter? Do you, philia, love me?" You can just imagine the frustration as Peter's thinking back. "I failed. I said I would love you to the end, but I failed. I screwed up. I couldn't handle the pressure. Lord, you know I love you." Jesus says to him in that exchange, he says, "Peter, your failings, no matter how great they are, your inability to live up to your intentions in the moment, that's not enough to stop you from fulfilling the plans I have for you. If you love me, if you're with me, if you're for me, your failures won't stop you from fulfilling the plans I have for you." Feed my sheep. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. If our love fails, his love remains. Peter failed quite spectacularly. But in his heart, he knew he loved God. See, often when God asks us a question, always when God asks us a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because we need to know the answer. Peter knew without a shadow of a doubt that yes, I love God and he loves me. Jesus showed Peter grace. He didn't deserve it, but he gives him grace and he built him up and strengthened him in his love. When we love God, when we truly love God, there is no setback, there is no failure that can separate us from his love. Jesus says to us, "The job is still yours. What I've called you to, what I've asked you to do, it's still yours." He said to Peter, "Feed my sheep. The job is still yours. What I've called you to be, what I've called you to do, do it." In what ways do I feel that I've let God down? Do I feel like maybe Peter felt after the cock crowed? He said, "God, I've screwed up spectacularly. I've let you down." However it is, and when we've identified that, whatever it may be, what does God say? He said to Peter, "Feed my sheep. There is grace enough for you. There is grace to restore you. There is grace to bring you back. The job is still yours." What is our response to that? We could deny it and say, God, no, you're wrong, it's too big. Do you realize how badly I screwed up? God, do you really understand what a mess up, how much I've let you down? I've let you down, I've let myself down, I've let the family down. That's one response. And we go away carrying that weight and that sorrow and that regret and that shame. But that's not the right response. The right response is, God, I'm sorry. Yes, I screwed up, but I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. Love that restores me. Love that brings me back. Love that calls me on to walk in the ways that you've prepared for me. Almost all of the disciples, Peter included, did eventually die for their faith. Peter saying, I can just about manage the philia love right at the moment. I can just about manage that. God, I know I can do. But as he walked with God, God worked in him until he was able to come to a place where he could sacrifice everything for his Lord and Savior. So as we consider God's love, as we consider our own love for God, for those around us in family, friends, colleagues, what does my love look like? Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that you were willing to sacrifice to restore relationship with us. Jesus, we thank you that you came as the beloved Son, that you were willing to sacrifice separation from the Father, from the Godhead, that we could be reunited with you. Lord, would you teach us to understand what it means that you love us, that we would know you, that we would know your love, and that we would love like you do. Amen.